It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Something I talk about in the Healed Being program is that emotionally abusive people push away those they care about, even though most of them are afraid of being alone, unloved, and unhappy. I can so relate. In my old life, who I used to be would make the closest person in my life feel bad for being themselves. If you make someone you love feel bad for being themselves, they're not going to want to be with you anymore. Love will dissolve. I talk about that and so much more in the life-changing program called Healed Being. If you're hurting someone you love and you just can't seem to stop, go to healedbeing.com and start making changes right away. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skill set you need to deal with life's challenges in the most emotionally intelligent way. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. All right, I'm going to get right into the first segment here, and that is based on a message that I received from someone who says, one topic I can't seem to find info on is growing up in an abusive yet wealthy household. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic, and I feel that I'm being dismissed and judged because I had all the things that adult children of neglectful homes didn't have, like money, education, cars, opportunities, second homes. But the price to pay was physical and verbal abuse. The shaming, perfectionist demands, and high level of internal family dysfunction, it was next level. Yet my parents were highly revered. They were not addicts, but I had a rageaholic, violent dad and a mom who liked to egg him on, and I've been no contact with them for many years, and I'm worried about whether I'll be left an inheritance. Maybe that would be the one way I felt like they did care. The dismissive, quote, poor little rich kids trope feels real. Any thoughts on this? I gave up my privileges for freedom, but I can't let go of my old life, though I did so voluntarily. I'm not sure what that means, but I did write to this person and ask him to elaborate a little bit. And he sent me a good elaboration, and I'm not going to read the rest of it to you because it's not relevant to my reply here. But basically, you know, he's worried that he's not going to get the inheritance, and that thought has caused him to maybe think maybe I should make friends and just deal with it, you know, with his family. He's been no contact for many years. And let me see, he also said, the good news is I'm pretty okay. I have a trusted group of friends that get me and get it, and as well as a good therapist. So thanks for the work you do. I don't know if you did ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholic. Based on your advice, it sounds like you have, and perhaps it was helpful, but the program itself wasn't the right fit or not. But that's where I am. I need practical tools and strategies, which I think you do a good job of conveying. Okay. Thank you so much for writing this and for sharing this. I left out all the details so nobody knows who you are. And if you hear this right now, I am talking to you, the person who wrote, and there are a couple things that I want to mention. One of them is your comment on adult children of alcoholics. I actually have an episode on adult children of alcoholics, and you'll find it at theoverwhelmedbrain.com. Just type in the word alcohol or alcoholic, and it should come up for you. And that might be helpful.
But for those who don't know, it's sort of like, you know, you have AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and then you have the children of alcoholics, adult children of alcoholics, and there are meeting groups for that. I went to one once, and you're right, it didn't feel like a good fit for me. In fact, it was just when I was starting to heal because I believed I needed what they had to offer. And it is possible that, well, I'm sure it's probable that I would have gotten a lot from the program. But I was working on healing. I might have actually been seeing a therapist at that time. I'm not sure. But it wasn't a good fit, and I didn't feel comfortable, like probably most people do when they walk into a group like that. So I decided to not do it and work on my healing. And that's what I've been doing for many, many years. So my decision, even though it might have accelerated my healing, I'm okay with my decision not continuing to attend. And the alcoholic doesn't really have an effect on me anymore in my life. It was my stepfather. But I do recommend programs like this for those of you who cannot get the toxic alcoholic or addicted person out of your life or out of your mind, like a trauma response. So if you feel you have very high emotional triggers, very deep emotional triggers, like trauma responses, like I used to have, where if somebody drank around me, drank alcohol, I wouldn't flip out, but I would be upset. I would give them the silent treatment. I would be angry. I would tell them what they're doing, or I would actually say, you shouldn't do that. I wouldn't tell them what to do, but I would say, you shouldn't do that. You know, that's not good. You shouldn't drink alcohol. That was me a long time ago, and if you knew me back then, I'm sorry. I wasn't that pleasant when you were drinking alcohol around me. And it was usually only with romantic partners. I never said that to my friends. My friends could drink all they want around me, but my romantic partner, I had to control them. That was my feelings and my thoughts back then. Because if they drank around me, then I would see my old drunk dad behavior, and I don't want that. Because my stepfather, as he drank, he was very scary to be around. And then as he got older, as he drank, he would pass out, and that was a lot easier. But he would still be embarrassing, especially with other people around. So it was a lot of trauma in different ways as I was growing up, and I did need help. I did need to work through this stuff. I developed perfectionism and people-pleasing, and I was highly judgmental, and I was critical, and I was emotionally abusive. I was a lot of things that my former partners suffered through. Again, if you're listening, I am so sorry. I did not know how to act any differently. I had terrible coping mechanisms. And now I don't worry about that anymore. I do not have the emotional triggers I used to have. One will sneak up. One old emotional trigger will sneak up every now and then. And I process it. I reflect on it. I deal with it. And I heal through it. I've just been doing this for so long that I know the right questions to ask myself. In fact, if you want the questions that I ask myself that help me to heal and process this stuff, I wrote an article called Stupid Questions That Lead to Healing. TheOverwhelmedBrain.com, just type in the word stupid or questions, and you will find the article that I wrote, and that gives you very specific questions to ask yourself to drill down into the emotional trigger that you're having, or, you know, you're thinking about the reaction. Why did I react so badly? Also, probably from emotional triggers. Your coping mechanisms, how you cope. Like, for example, I used to cope by trying to control others instead of dealing with my emotions. Instead of saying, wow, I'm angry. Why am I angry? Instead of being my own coach or therapist in that moment, asking myself questions, I decided to push my hurt or my anger onto someone else. And so that's how I coped. I don't have to deal with it. I'll just push it onto someone else. And it was abusive. It was hurtful. And those people don't deserve that hurt. In fact, you heard what I said at the very beginning of this episode. Why do we hurt people that we love? Because when we hurt them, they don't want to be with us. They don't want anything to do with us. They want to avoid us. Why would we hurt someone we love if we want them to stay? And I also mentioned, you know, a lot of us that grew up in some sort of trauma, some sort of addiction or alcoholic household, we've developed these coping mechanisms. And if they're not healthy coping mechanisms, we have pushed our pain, pushed our suffering, pushed our sadness, pushed our anger onto other people. And those are usually the closest people in our lives. So when we push our pain, our anger, our sadness onto someone we love, love will dissolve. Love will degrade. Love will go away. And they'll seal their hearts eventually because we'll push them to the threshold. When they reach threshold, what I call the threshold, they're closing their hearts to us permanently. That's it. When you pushed someone to the edge, there's nowhere else to go. They're stuck at the edge. And when you're stuck at the edge, guess where you are on Maslow's hierarchy of needs? If you're not familiar with that, it starts with the basics. You need air, you need food, you need water. The basics are for survival. So once you have that, then you can go into other things. If you know you'll be fed and you will have water and you will have shelter, then you go on to the next phase. Hey, I can have a relationship. And I haven't memorized Maslow's hierarchy, so I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what the next steps are, but it really, that's what happens, is you fulfill one level of needs, then you get to the next level of needs or wants, and then the next, and then the next, because you can't necessarily buy a car until you have money, and you can't get money until you work, and you can't work if you're not able to physically or mentally. So you have to fill these needs up. Sometimes the mental requires knowledge, or maybe you have a physical disability and you can't do it, so you have to find another way. There's all kinds of needs that we have to fulfill to get to the next level, going from survival to comfort and convenience and things like that. So what I was saying is that when you push someone to the ledge, their survival mechanism kicks in. And they are at the lowest level, and they feel like if they don't do something, they're going to die. Maybe not physically, but emotionally. It's just pushing them to the point where they can't take it anymore. I talk about this in the Healed Being program. You're going to push somebody to that limit. And when they reach that limit, they're either going to seal their heart so you can't get back in, or they're going to lock that damn door because they're sick of being hurt, or they're sick of being pushed or jabbed. And when somebody gets sick of it, they may still love you, but you're not getting in. You're not getting in until you change. And they need to know you're changing. They need to have irrefutable evidence. I just said that in the latest lesson over at the Healed Being program. They need to have irrefutable evidence that you are changing. And there's so much more to it. But this is what happens, is we hurt the people we love, and then we push and we push and we push. And then they reach their limit. They reach threshold. And once they reach threshold, you may or may not be able to reconcile the relationship. Coincidentally, once you reach threshold, or once they reach threshold, that is the fullest level of accountability where you finally say, oh, I've been pushing you too hard. I've been pushing too much. I've been acting badly. I've been misbehaving. Now I get it. I'm not saying you. Not everyone fits this mold here. I'm just saying that there are people out there that will hurt people they love, and they will continue hurting them, and they'll see that they're hurt, and they won't stop, even though they're hurt. Their suffering doesn't matter, that other person's suffering. Their tears don't matter. Their crying, their pleas for you to stop don't matter to some people. And so certain people will continue pushing or jabbing or whatever, being hurtful. And when that happens, that's when they can reach threshold and decide enough is enough. And so let me get back, I wanted to kind of set that up, because when we push people to that limit, just like this person who wrote, he was pushed to the limit. When we do it, they're not going to want to talk to us anymore. They're not going to want to be with us anymore. They're not going to want to love us anymore, because loving us is too painful. So that's what happens when we hurt someone we love. If we do it once, it can be forgiven. It can be forgotten. It can be something that happened and let's move on. It was just whatever, a misunderstanding, or you were a real jerk, but that's okay because you only do that once in a while, once every 3 years. But once a week, once a day, you know, the frequency can definitely lend a hand in pushing them further and further away from you, driving that wedge in the relationship. This person said, I've had enough, I'm going no contact. But now he has these fears, like, what have I done? Maybe, and I don't know if I read this, but he did say, maybe if I get this inheritance, it'll be one small way that they show they love me, because they've mistreated me, they've hurt me, they've emotionally and physically abused me, and I don't want that anymore. I have been pushed to the limit. I am cutting them off. Many years later, here I am, and thinking, gee, you know, it would be nice if I got that inheritance, because at least it would be some sort of gesture that says, you know, we had our issues, but I still love you, and here you go. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll give a direct reply to the person who wrote, because I still need to address this. Be right back after this. If you've been listening to me talk about MAG Breakthrough by Bioptimizers, you've heard me say I'm monitoring my sleep patterns carefully. I bought a smartwatch about 4 months ago because I felt tired during the day, and my girlfriend said, you're not getting enough sleep. I told her, yes, I am. She said, no, you're not. So I got a smartwatch and saw that she was right, sort of. I wasn't getting enough deep sleep. When I learned about Bioptimizer's MAG Breakthrough, I wasn't convinced that their formula of 7 unique forms of magnesium was going to do anything for me. But that's full spectrum, meaning you can't find this formula in any old magnesium supplement. And you need all 7 forms to experience the full calming sleep-enhancing effects. I was looking forward to recording this because I wanted to come on the air and tell you about my sleep score. 77! This is the highest number I've ever had since I bought the watch to monitor this stuff. That makes me happy. I feel so much better. If you're having trouble getting a good, deep night's sleep, right now, Bioptimizers is offering listeners of this show up to a 42% savings if you go to magbreakthrough.com/overwhelmedbrain. Again, you can save up to 42% on Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to magbreakthrough.com/overwhelmedbrain. And you can also use the promo code BRAIN10, that's BRAIN10, to get your savings. Now, we all know good sleep is good for our brain, it's good for our body, it's good for healing, but we also need to take care of ourselves mentally and emotionally. And that's why I love the service BetterHelp. They are one of our sponsors today. I am so happy to talk about them. BetterHelp helps you take care of your mind. It reminds me of the car I gave to my mom. It's actually a truck. I said, Mom, I'm getting a new truck. I want to give you this one. And she was so happy. But she never called me when the engine light came on. She didn't tell me because she didn't want me to think there was anything wrong with it. And she didn't want me to think that she was complaining. And I said, Mom, this is when you tell me. You don't tell me when it's not happening. You tell me when it's happening. I want to help you fix it. I don't want you to have a broken down vehicle. So she realized that it's not complaining. It's just letting me know. And this is what we do. We're supposed to take care of things like our cars and our kids and our houses and our minds. We're supposed to take care of our mind. And that's what I think of when I think of BetterHelp, is that it is a great service to take care of your mind. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. You don't have to see anyone in camera if you don't want to, and it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And once you sign up, you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Maybe you have a little yellow light coming on in your brain, and maybe it needs taking care of, and this is what BetterHelp is for. So I wanted to tell you about this. You can get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/brain. That's two words, BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. If you take care of your mind will definitely take care of you. Welcome back. I want to continue talking about what we talked about in the last segment, this person's email. We talked about the emotionally abusive aspect of this, but we didn't get into something called financial abuse. Now, you didn't necessarily mention anything to do with financial abuse, but just real quick for somebody who doesn't know that term, it's when somebody has power over you because of money. And they use money as a tool or a tactic to make you comply, to make you submit, to make you do what they want you to do. I don't think you mentioned it in this other letter you wrote to me, but if they used money to make you comply or submit or control you or whatever, you were probably pushed so much that you didn't care anymore. You didn't want to base a relationship on money, and you decided that it doesn't matter if you get their money or not, so I'm cutting them out. I'm cutting them off. And first of all, good for you. Not many people can do that. They think, well, I don't want to get out of their will. I want to stay in their good graces. I better do what they say. And then they browbeat you. They hurt you. They emotionally abuse you. They do everything they can to make your life miserable, all because you're waiting for that payday. When you wait for the payday, this is where financial abuse takes place, is that they feel they're allowed to hurt you because you stick around because you want the benefits of their money or their wealth or whatever. And if they know that, this is where financial abuse actually takes place. If they know that you're sticking around and doing whatever they tell you to do because you're in their will, and if you misbehave, we're going to take you out of their will, then that is the almost literal definition of financial abuse. Someone knows that having money and holding it over your head, and you need the money especially, that is a control tool, tactic, that they use to make sure that you do what they want you to do. Now, here's what is happening in your situation, is that this is sort of the reverse of financial abuse. You are almost telling me that you should get in contact with them or be in their good graces again, just in case there's an inheritance, which puts you in the position of doing things good enough for them just in case they want to leave you some money. Now, you may not have said that, but that's kind of what I'm hearing. At the same time, I also hear, hey, you know, I've gone no contact. I'm okay. I'm not too worried about that. But it would be nice if they left money for me as a gesture or token of love or whatever, family respect. I don't know. So let me approach it this way. Let's just say that they told you that they are going to leave you money. Let's just say you got in touch with them again, and they said, you know, we're getting old and we want to leave you money. And you say, okay, great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. And then they're controlling and manipulative and hurtful to you. Will you continue to stay connected with them, stay in communication with them, just because of the money? Maybe that's what you're asking me. But I'm asking you, will you do it if they're still abusive? Because just in case they give you the money. So I'm going to give you my response. My response is, if my parents were wealthy, let's just say that, and they're definitely not, but let's just say my mom was super wealthy, lots of money, and she wouldn't give me the time of day, didn't care about my life, made fun of my girlfriend, said I was a loser, you know, did all the hurtful, toxic parenting that she could. I'm thinking that, you know, I have been okay throughout my life too. I have worked my butt off. I have risen in every career that I've chosen. Thank you, perfectionism. I have done well for myself. And I know that if suddenly what I'm doing today crashed and burned, I could go out and do something else and be okay. So for me, I could look at her leaving me in her will as a nice thought, a nice gift. But is it a show of love? Wow, I want to swear right now. F no. No, hell no, it's not a show of love. It's a show of whatever. She wanted to leave me something. Maybe it's her guilt. I don't know. Do I care that she's leaving? Yeah, I would love the money. Absolutely. I would love it. I'm not going to lie. I would love the money. It would be great. But let's just say that she left me out. Okay, I might be angry, but at the same time, she never really seemed to care about me anyway, and this is kind of that final nail in the coffin of our relationship. Oh, I guess it was true that she never cared about me, and this proves that because in the end, she still didn't leave me anything. So if that happened, again, I'm not going to lie, it would hurt. It would be terrible because that's what I'm looking for, just like you. Maybe that's that last gesture that says, this is who I am and I really did care about you. I just couldn't show up as a good parent. That would be wonderful, but I don't want to expect it. And I don't want you to expect it. And you probably don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I'm not going to expect it. So here's the thing. How do I act? Who am I going to be when I talk to her if I want to reestablish communication? And I'm sort of being you as I'm thinking about this. If I were to reestablish communication with my mom and dad, my dad's not alive, but for you, your mom and dad, would I act any different than who I am? Would I show up as who they wanted me to be or who I know I am? And this is, in my opinion, what your decision should be. You might lose your inheritance. You might lose the money. But what will you lose if you show up as who they want you to be? If they want you to kiss their butt and they're treating you terrible, is that who you want to be? So this is where I go, and this is a very tough thing because money has a lot of control in our lives. That is a control mechanism, even when it's not abusive. You can't pay the electricity without money. So it is a very controlling factor in our lives, and if we have enough of it, the controlling aspect of it kind of goes away, and that's nice. We have more options. We have more freedom. But when we don't, and we're living paycheck to paycheck, if we're even getting a paycheck, then it is definitely something that we have to continue doing in our lives all the time. I mean, even if you're wealthy, you still have investments that you have to continue doing all of our lives to keep it coming in so that we can continue paying for that lowest level on the Maslow's hierarchy again. We need to survive so we can feel comfortable, so things get more convenient, so things are more accessible. And the more comfortable we get, sometimes the better life is. So that's nice. So getting the inheritance would be wonderful. If I'm putting myself in your shoes, am I going to kiss my mom's butt just to get that inheritance? I might a little. I might a little. But what I'm also going to do is not compromise my integrity, not compromise my character, not allow her to violate my values or my boundaries. So I'm going to show up as who I am, who I want to be, and not who she wants me to be. So I am going to love her and respect her and let her know that I'm glad that her life's going well. You know, I'm going to make nice small talk. Maybe there's a connection there, maybe not. I mean, if it's been many, many years, I might just say, I'd really love to have a relationship with you again. Can we do it? And if I notice that she's the same toxic person, I might have to back off. Or if she's so toxic that I can't stand being around her, I can't stand talking to her, then I'm just going to let it all go. I'm going to push it away and realize it's not worth it. Sure, I could probably kiss her butt. I mean, people are telling me that's terrible advice. I could probably kiss her butt a little bit. Okay, I can kind of get through some of your minor toxic behaviors, and what you're saying about that person isn't really about me, even though it's mean. And what you're saying about that group of people, it's very hurtful and terrible, but you're not really directing it at me, so maybe I could tolerate it, and that's just who you are. I can do my best just to be cordial. I can have good manners. And when I witness any toxic behavior toward me, can I allow it to roll off my back like water on a duck's back? Can I do it? Because if I can and not hold a grudge, then I will be okay. And this is where it comes into play for you. Can you be around your parents and allow their toxic behavior to roll off of you? Because you can realize their toxic behavior is not about you at all. In fact, what I have learned in my many, many years of learning about relationships and behavior is that most toxic people, they are toxic on the inside, and it comes from their own past and their own inability to cope. And just like I was saying earlier, when I couldn't cope, I pushed it onto others. They can't cope. They don't know how to handle certain emotions. So because they don't want to deal with those emotions, they push their negativity onto other people. And they will usually do it with the people they know the best, typically closest family or romantic partners, because they know them so well that they know how they're going to respond. They know how to trigger people. And as long as they can push it onto someone else, they don't have to deal with it. If your mom is incredibly sad because she's been married to your father for so long and she doesn't know how to deal with it, her toxic behavior toward you could be her expression of that. And so if that helps you develop compassion for her, that might help you understand her behavior and let it roll off of you. The hard part is eliminating the emotional trigger that you have when someone that is supposed to love you points at you and says, you're a loser. You're a piece of garbage. I can't believe I raised someone like you. Can you handle that? That's tough, because they are putting you down. They are insulting you. And a lot of people can't handle that because they're still looking for sweet mommy, sweet daddy, the people that don't exist. They're looking for people that don't exist. And those who've never had parents that showed up in an unconditionally loving way, if you're still looking for that love and respect from a parent that has never shown it before and has always been toxic, you spend your lifetime looking. You spend your lifetime hopeful that this time things will be different. And it's so much easier just to say, they'll never be different. They will not be different. And in fact, when you reach that acceptance, you can then make changes in your life to help you cope, help you heal, and move through it. Because once you accept that someone will never, ever change, you have no choice but to come back to yourself and ask yourself, what am I going to do about it? Because a lot of the times, this is what we'll do. We'll procrastinate a little bit, maybe not consciously, about doing something about our intolerance of someone else's behavior, because We hope that eventually they'll change. But if we believe that they will never change, then we come back to ourselves and we have to ask ourselves, okay, what am I going to do about it? I know they'll never change, ever. So what am I going to do? When I think that way, I tell myself, well, since they're never going to change and I know they're going to say hurtful things, I know they're going to be toxic, I either need to learn how to handle that, not take it personally, or avoid them altogether. Or not handle it and complain. I could complain. I could tell them, you do this all the time. It hurts. Why do you keep doing it? And I'll never get a good response. I could complain by saying, oh, my mom or my dad is terrible and I'm just always a victim to that. That's what will happen is I'll stay a victim to that because I keep complaining about it. And I keep complaining about it because I just want one day for them to realize how bad they're being. And so I want to take this person who wrote, I want to take you down this road. Can you handle their toxic behavior and let it roll off of you without being too affected? Because if you can, you're the Dalai Lama. You have learned to love unconditionally, and maybe they'll keep you in the will. Maybe they won't. Maybe that's not your primary objective, but it would be nice, like you said, it was a gesture that would be something that shows that at least they cared about you, and maybe you didn't know it the whole time, and that kind of fulfills your need to have a loving mom or dad. There could be a deep need for that. I'm sure there is. When we don't have a loving mom or dad or parent type of any sort, then that can feel like there's something missing in our lives, and we can spend our whole lives looking for it. That's why I talk about self-parenting a lot. Sometimes you have to parent yourself. Sometimes you have to say, you're a great person. You know, if it was me, you're a great guy, Paul. I love you. I mean, you've done so much with your life. No, I haven't. I got fired at this one job. Who cares? You tried, didn't you? Well, I didn't really try hard. That's fine too. They're going to support you. Your own parent or self-parenting, you support yourself. It's okay no matter what you did. Yeah, but I made this mistake and I broke the law. So what? You made a mistake. Who cares? I still love you. You're still a great guy. Oh, well, thanks. Feels good. It's definitely not the same, of course, but this is what you have to do sometimes when the real parent can't be in your life for whatever reason. You have to kind of do it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying this is the solution to years and years of feeling like you're not worthy and not lovable, but it's sure helpful. It's sure helpful to have somebody in your ear, even if you're saying it out loud to yourself, to say, don't worry about it. You're still amazing. You're still fantastic to me. I love you. To me, you're a big success because here you are. You made it this far. So what? You made mistakes. So did I. Wow, thanks so much. That feels good. Thanks so much. And it might be weird to do something like that, but that's the first thing I wanted to tell this person is that your parents may never show up the way you want them to. So you might have to come to that acceptance. And can you allow their toxic behavior to roll off your back? Because if you can't, and you feel like your integrity is compromised or your boundaries and values are violated, if you feel like you can't be you around them, then B might be you keep them out of your life. B may be stay no contact. And doing that, sure, you risk losing the inheritance. But what's more important? Getting a lot of money? Maybe, could be. This is where a values question comes in. What's more important? Getting a lot of money, being mistreated the whole time until I get that money, and it could be another 10 years, could be another 25 years. But is it more important to take that emotional beating the whole time waiting for that money? Or can I just write it off saying, I'm not going to get it because I don't want to compromise my integrity. I don't want to do it. I would rather be comfortable in my own skin for the next 10 to 25 years. I would rather feel good about myself because I didn't have to show up as inauthentic to anyone, especially to myself. I don't want to be inauthentic. I want to be real. And you might have to understand that you may not have contact with them and you may lose that money. Or they could surprise you and put it in the will and that was their last gift to you and suddenly everything's a little different, but not really. But if they did that, then at least you'd have the next 10 to 25 years, in this example, being who you are instead of being who they wanted you to be. And that is B. That is B, A, B. Here's C. C is you decide to keep them in your life and be yourself around them every time. Or at least most of the time. You might have to pick some battles here, but be yourself with them in your life. What does that mean? When they say, you're a loser, you can say, no, I'm not. And you saying that is hurtful. It's mean. Why would you say something like that? That's just really mean. A mom or a dad doesn't say that. What kind of person are you to say that? What does this do? This keeps your integrity. It allows you to be yourself. And it also risks whatever you think they're going to give you. It does risk it. But at least you got to be yourself. And so this is the balancing game, right? You can either do this, keep them in your life, and continue just being yourself. Hey, don't say that. That's mean. That's disrespectful. I'm not going to tolerate that. I will come back tomorrow, or I will call you next week. That's disrespectful. And then you're in control the whole time when you are yourself around them, and you develop an apathy about the inheritance. You know what? If it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't care either, because I am not compromising myself, and I am going to be okay being myself around these people. So that can turn into who knows what. It happens sometimes. You are yourself around certain people, and because you haven't been yourself around those people for so long, they have not seen you as anyone else. They've always seen you as you've always responded to them. And they don't expect anything else. And you could tick them off by being yourself, because they're not going to expect it. They're not going to want it, probably. They're going to reject it. They're going to be upset. But what you're doing really when you're yourself, especially the way I'm explaining it, is that you're just being logical. You're just being reasonable. You're just being sensible. Because when somebody hurts you or says something mean about you and you say, wow, that was really mean. That was really mean what you just said. Why would you say that? That's very hurtful. When you say something like that, it's the truth. And it's not necessarily poking them back. Yeah, it might be when you say that was really mean, they may feel that way. But you're not poking them back based on like a defensive argument that you might say, well, you're a loser too. That is an unhelpful retort. You don't want to just say, well, you're bad. You're this too. You don't want to go there because it goes nowhere. It's a circular abusive pattern. But you stop the abusive pattern by saying, what you just said was really mean. That really hurt. Or whatever you need to say. Because what you're doing is giving them an opportunity to respond. And that's the most loving thing you can do. You're giving them an opportunity to respond in a healthier way, in an empowered way, by saying, hey, what you just said was really hurtful. And they can say, I didn't mean to hurt you. They probably won't from what you described, but they could. They have an opportunity to say it. But if they say, well, you're still a loser, or you're the person that's hurtful to us. You never call. I mean, they might just turn it around on you. But again, stay in your integrity and say, well, what you said was mean, and I don't want to be around that. So if you can't see that it was mean and you're not going to change the way you're talking to me, then I have to go. You know, I'll call you later. Again, this is if you want them to stay in your life and you want to be in their life in some way. So I'm giving you these options, and none of them are great, except the last one I am most fond of. I am most fond of being yourself around toxic people and being okay not getting the reward at the end of the day or their life or whatever. And it's just a personal decision. If you don't need the money necessarily, you might want it. I would want it. But if you don't need it, then just be yourself. But if you don't need it, then it's easier to be yourself. If you do need it, that's where you have a very interesting dilemma. Are you going to take the abusive behavior? And maybe you'll take it all this time and they leave it to someone in another country that scammed them on the internet or something. This is what happened to my stepfather. He continues to send money to someone that he thinks loves him. It's just a crazy, crazy behavior. But he's not going to have any money to leave to his kids. Your parents might leave you money or not. I would just kind of take that out of the equation if you don't need it. If you don't need it, then you can be yourself around them. Or you can just cut them out of your life and say, hey, when you're ready to have a good relationship with me, I would love a good, healthy relationship. I would love to connect with you again. I hope I've given you enough to work with. It's always tough when there are toxic parents. And there is one thing I want to say about money. When money comes into someone's life, or they build it and they build it and they build it, what I've seen over and over again is that who they are is amplified, who they really are down inside. So if they're charitable, they become more charitable when they have more money. If they're greedy, they become more greedy when they have more money. If they're kind and respectful, they can become more kind and respectful, but we all know sometimes money changes people. I know someone that as he got more and more money into his life, he became a bigger and bigger jerk. And before he had the money, he was great. He was a nice guy. He was humble. And then he got money, and then he just became a jerk. So the question is, was he always that way? And he stayed humble for another reason? Or did he get money and he felt the power and he felt the ego and he realized he could do more? And who knows? Sometimes money changes people for the worse. And sometimes it continues making them better people because they do good things with it. Help their family, be charitable, whatever. I hope I've given you enough. Thank you so much for writing. I know you're in a tough position, but that's where I go with it. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our financial backers. I call them the patrons or patrons of the week. Holly, Monica, Brad, Jamie, Nathan, Angel, and Crystal. Good to see your names. I am so grateful. My heart warms every time I read these names. I appreciate you. Thank you for giving. And if you find value in the show like these people do, go to moretob.com and you can give back too. It's not required, just optional. You can choose to do so. They've chosen to do so, and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much, patrons. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I want to remind you of my Love and Abuse podcast over at loveandabuse.com. That's if you're dealing or trying to navigate with a difficult relationship and you want to figure out what you need to do, that's a very informative and educational podcast to help you deal with difficult people. And if you know you're the difficult person in the relationship, head over to healedbeing.com. That's something I mentioned at the beginning. A lot of people are getting a lot of benefit from it. And check out the testimonials. If you don't believe me, believe them. healedbeing.com. And thanks to Kevin McLeod of incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And I just want to say this for my final words. You know, if somebody is holding something over your head, you got to get out from under that if at all possible. Because what do you do? Do you show up as a different person, like I was saying? Do you show up as the person that they want you to see? Like, I cannot stand when somebody has something over me. That's the power over model, where they're dominant and they can control my life because they hold the reins and I've got to follow the rules. I mean, it sounds like I'm talking about the typical job, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, well, it could be that too, but I'm talking about somebody that wants to make you do what they want you to do and make you show up the way they want you to show up. And if you don't, you don't get the reward. You don't get the money. You don't get time with their kids. You don't get something. They hold stuff over your head. And man, I just go through life not wanting to give up my integrity for anyone. And this can be tough. This can be real tough. I mentioned one of them. I've actually heard from people that say, I have to deal with their toxic behavior so I'm allowed to see their kids. They're using kids as leverage for them to act badly. So the people that have the kids, if you're a relative and you want to go see those kids, they can still be the toxic people they are because they know you'll have to, I'll use the term I used before, kiss their butt. You'll have to, I don't like this term as much, brown nose. You'll have to do things and say things in a certain way so you don't lose that privilege. They're taking privileges away from you and sometimes rights. Like, you're not going to be able to do this because I'll sue you. Wow, and suddenly you have to act in a way that is uncharacteristic of you because they're acting like a jackass. They're not healthy. And we can have unhealthy people in our lives controlling us, and we feel like we are completely out of options. And we all have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do what you want me to do because I don't want to deal with your toxic behavior. So I'm going to be me. Just do you, right? I'm going to be me. But what do you lose? And this is where you have to weigh your options. Am I willing to compromise my integrity so that I can have this reward? I can have this benefit. I can see these kids. I can live in this house. I can have this job, whatever it is. Am I willing to compromise my integrity? Am I willing to be a little less happy or a lot less happy just so I can be okay in this part of my life? Just so I can be happy over there. And this can be very tough. Sometimes you will have the toughest decision to make. And I don't have a good answer for this. My answer is always, if you're going to be a jerk, I'm going to be myself. And if it bothers me, I'm going to say what I need to say to you, even if that means that you're going to take something away from me. But I really believe in protecting myself. I really believe in honoring my values and my boundaries and keeping my integrity intact. And what that means is, okay, sometimes they might cross the line and I'll just let it be because I expect it. They're toxic. I don't expect anything else of them. But sometimes they cross the line too much. Like if my mom was toxic and she said, I don't like your girlfriend at all, she can't come, I would say, that's fine. You have a right to your opinion, and I guess we won't see each other anymore. Meaning my mom and I. And my mom might say, well, I want to see you. And I would tell her, my girlfriend comes with a package. If you want to see me, you get to see her too. And so I think I mentioned that in another show too. It's like we are the complete package of us. And if somebody doesn't like who we're with, then we just have to make a decision. This is where the balancing act comes in. I have to weigh the different options here. Sometimes we want to keep certain people in our life, so we have to make certain compromises, maybe sacrifices. And you just have to be careful. Don't sacrifice too much of yourself. This is one of those things where if you sacrifice too much of yourself, what's left over to enjoy what's left over? If I allow a toxic person to hold something over me and it disintegrates me at the core level and I just feel so terrible doing what they want me to do and feeling that control, and I only have like 10% happiness left, am I going to be okay with 90% unhappiness just to take my 10% happiness and apply it to this other thing that is a benefit to me. Again, this is a decision we have to make. And I personally am not a fan when somebody wants to have control over me. I'm willing to compromise here and there, but there's a point where I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I cannot be disrespected any further. Well, I'm not going to give you the inheritance then. Whatever you need to do. I still love you. I want you to be happy. But if you want to take that away from me, that's your choice. Well, you're not going to be able to see the kids again. I really want to see them, and I wish you wouldn't do that because I think they want to see me too. But if that's your choice, I honor it. Wow, can we do that? Can we step into those shoes for a minute and say those things knowing we're going to experience such a loss? This is very, very tough because some people do hold things over our heads knowing that we want those things, but we have to make decisions that are probably out of alignment with our integrity and our values. But they know we won't do it because we want that thing. So we just have to weigh our options. And sometimes you will make a choice that seems like it's very lopsided. Like you're going to take 90% of this abuse for that 10% benefit. But that 10% could be so fulfilling that it was worth it. And that's tough. I don't know how to get you out of that situation except to say the one thing I already said, which is don't take too much of what they're saying to you, even though it's about you, even though it's directed at you. Don't take it too personally. There's something inside of them that hasn't been healed. They don't know how to cope with their emotions, so they make you feel bad so that they don't have to. And if we can see people like that, then maybe we can feel a little bit differently about how they're treating us. Doesn't give them the right to treat you bad. I'm just saying, if you really need to deal with this, can you disconnect enough to see that they are unhealthy inside and they need to work on stuff, and that you being in their proximity are going to be a target, and it's not personal? We always take things personally, a lot of us. We always take it personally because they point at us. They say our name. They mention things we're doing. It's about us. But really, it's just them trying to purge it onto someone else so that they don't have to deal with their own emotional difficulties in life. I so appreciate you. Just remember to keep an open mind, because that's where your power is. When you are open-minded, you can step into your power and create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And there's one thing I'm absolutely confident about. This is something I know to be true 100%. You are amazing.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.